right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want!
Hi.
Hello.
Who is this episode sponsored by? Have we decided yet?
Actually, funny you should mention that. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 187?
187.
Chad L. from...
He corrected us. Tennessee? Nashville, maybe?
So maybe we should start again. It's the Chad L. from Nashville Presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 1...
I think it's L. I think it's P.
P? Yeah. Chad from Tennessee presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 187. That's the
right,
title.
That's the title?
Yeah.
Wow.
There
it's
you
like
go.
Epic.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, just to catch everyone up on the Chad from Tennessee News, Chad, in accordance with the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon 2010, which is still going on, folks, you can go over to the website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, find the donate button, and give us a little donation to help repair, replace, rejuvenate our equipment, which is sadly lacking in
every way.
Yes.
No, not entirely.
In most ways. If you're hearing this, it's not in every way.
Right. In some ways.
So, yes. And we have been and continue, at least this week, to reach out to you directly to help us out with our equipment issues. We would very, very much appreciate it. And go over, give us a little something. And just to let everyone know, Chad contacted us via our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Correct. Where he left us a message. We played it on the show a couple of weeks ago where he said he wanted to know how much money it would take to eliminate the wrap-up from the show. And apparently,
right.
Chad not respecting democracy. When we had the national poll on the wrap up,
all politicians can be bought out.
Yes. So, and in that fashion, we entertained Chad's notion. Chad has reached out to us with an amount, which we respect. It is a nice amount, and we appreciate the gesture. And I think what we're saying, Chad, I think what we're saying is. That amount will buy you, I'm saying 10 episodes.
Wow. Okay.
Now, if he were to go up, if he were to up his offer by one third,
right?
By one third, I would go 25 episodes.
Wow.
So if he ups it by one third,
right?
His current offer. We don't want to get into specific
what
numbers.
His offer was. Okay.
These are very. We have to say, and we're even thanking Chad for even entertaining this notion. And of course, all of our donators, big and small, we appreciate it, and we value your patronage, and you are helping us out more than you can possibly know. Now, that said, so just to be clear, Chad's donation that he offered us, if he ups it, we will offer him 10 wrap-up free episodes for his current offer, but if he upgrades his offer by one-third, we will give him 25 wrap-up free episodes, which includes...
That's like half a year.
I got to say, not only is it half a year, but it also includes the episode 200, which...
It will include that.
Yeah. That could be a 200-episode wrap-up. Yeah. I'm just saying. So, Chad, consider that. Get back to us via our hotline,
425-920-6050,
or email us at geekstuffog@gmail.com, and let us know what you think of our counter offer, if you will.
Right.
And and you may know as early as next week as to whether Chad accepted our offer or not. You won't know how long Chad's offer will run, because, you know, you'll just have to listen each and every week to find out how much we and Chad eventually settled for. But yeah, so that's what we're putting that on the table this week. That's
right.
What we're doing.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
By the way, yes. Our contest last week, did anyone enter?
Yes, we had a couple entries
last
week.
You did not. Which contest?
The which contest are you talking about? The random entry contest?
Was
that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. No, we had a couple entrants in that one.
We did?
And we'll pick a winner in the second half of the show.
Okay. Did we have any entries into the I Collect Bluebird toys?
No entries into the I Collect Bluebird toys.
With photographic evidence? No,
not yet.
Nobody? Okay.
Not yet.
If anyone can produce me a collection of blue bird toys, and this can be any sort of bird-like collection that has blue in it, I would laugh my ass off, and you will get a fabulous prize.
All right.
Photographic evidence must be accompanied.
Provided. Right.
Yeah, provided. Yeah.
Okay. Are we moving forward at this point?
Sure.
Okay. We don't have to.
Apparently you got somewhere to go, so let's get on it.
Nowhere to go. Just a show to do, sir. Just a show to do. Gosh, where do we start? All right, Captain America.
Oh, jeez. Right to it.
Well, you know, there's always something every week.
Uh-huh.
Captain America has found his plucky but tough sidekick, Bucky.
They are putting Bucky in the movie?
Sebastian Stan apparently has been cast as Bucky Barnes. Now, I think this is rumor and speculation.
Wait a minute. Why do you think it's rumor and speculation?
Because I don't think that it's really confirmed just yet.
Okay. Why are you putting it on this program?
Because we talk about rumors on this show all the time.
Okay. You're saying it like it's happening.
I always say it like it's happening. And then I retract and say, ah, rumor.
Okay.
When I get corrected an episode or two down the
road. Why would I know this, kid?
Why would you know this, kid? Let's see. How about he was in Hot Tub Time Machine?
Oh! As what? What was the character's name? Did you say what the character's name was? I bet he was the 80s... I bet you he was the 80s ski champ guy in that movie who was the douche. Because every 80s ski movie has to have a guy who wears turtlenecks and parts his hair in the middle and is an
Blaine
ass.
Was the character name.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So there you go.
Okay.
Although he is listed as Bucky Barnes on IMDb as well.
I mean,
not that that means anything.
Well, if it's on IMDb, it must be true.
But I guess maybe that lends a little credibility to this. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't as much gossip as I thought.
Okay.
But either way, we believe that, or what I've read says that it's a multi-picture deal. So not sure what that means.
Okay.
Unless, of course, they decide to just Winter Soldier him right away. Oh,
that's a bit much right out of the gate,
well,
don't you think?
I mean, what else do you do with him? You kill him.
Here's the thing.
Right?
Here's my problem.
Okay.
My problem is I firmly believe.
Yes.
I firmly believe Cap in the 40s is going to be one movie and one movie only.
I agree with you.
Therefore,
Bucky makes sense.
Either well, yeah, but getting beyond that, here's my problem. My problem is they have to establish quite the relationship between these two in order for Winter Soldier to work.
Yes.
So therefore, there has to be a considerable amount of time in the first Cap movie covered. In other words, you know, 1938 to 1943 or whatever. I know that's not the right time,
right.
But they'll have to, I would say, have to cover some significant time period in order to have that work.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking semi-major role in Cap, the first movie,
uh-huh,
as Bucky. And then I'm thinking maybe a movie or two with him in some sort of flashbacky type sequences.
Okay.
And then maybe at some point later down the road, Winter Soldier.
It's possible.
Because, you know, multi-picture deal, you know, again, you know, Sam Jackson has a multi-picture deal in these
right.
movies for 30 seconds of film.
Right.
So, you know.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying it's unlikely.
I just think that it's interesting.
Okay.
I think it's interesting. I don't know that anybody fully suspected that they were going to go Bucky.
I didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a little stunned by that news because I figured after the colossal F-up that has been every Robin in a movie, you know, and essentially he's Cap's Robin, except that he dies.
Yes, exactly.
They had one of those. They had a Robin die also,
I was
going to
say. They,
but he came back too. So
yeah, he had a Robin die.
And Bucky came back 100 times.
Right.
In one form or another. So I guess I understand it, but I'm a little hesitant. This is the first piece of Cap news I think that I am a little wary about. So I guess we'll wait and see.
Red Sonja moving forward.
The movie?
The movie. Now, we had heard it was going to star Rose McGowan, mm-hmm. and it was going to be, what's his name? Rodriguez, right? And then it got killed.
You mean Robert Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought maybe there was another guy.
Another Rodriguez?
No, what you call it. What's his name, Rodriguez?
What's his name, Rodriguez? And then it was dead again, and then Rose McGowan was going to be in Barbarella, I think. But
this is all.
But she was still going to do Red Sonja.
This was all still while Robert Rodriguez was nailing Rose McGowan.
Correct.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, you can be in Barbarella. Right. Yeah, yeah, you can be in Red Sonja, baby. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to practice sheathing my sword in Red Sonja. How about that, huh? Huh? You like that, don't you, Barbarella?
Well, anyway, that all being said. It looks like they're looking for a new director, someone to retouch up the script.
Someone not sleeping with the potential star.
Right. Oh, no. No, not the potential star any longer.
Right.
New director.
Uh-huh.
Someone to touch up the script and put the polish and finishing touches on it.
Of course.
And then slide Megan Fox right into the role of Red Sonja. That's the news this week.
That's terrible.
That's what we're reading this week.
That's,
yeah, that's
absolutely
that's a,
hideous.
That is a...
That is worse casting. Wow. That is maybe worse casting than Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Hey, that might be fine.
No, it's not.
That might be fine.
First of all, her hair looks atrociously
fake. No, it does not.
Hey,
oh, come on. It looks fine.
It's terrible.
It looks fine.
Terrible.
I don't think her hair looks
fine. They blew it when they let Emily Blunt go. They blew
that
role.
That was Fox's fault. If you want to jump on the I Hate Fox bandwagon.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm not opposed to jumping on the I Hate Anybody bandwagon, as you're well aware. But that's not the issue. The issue is they went for the boobs and not for the character. That's exactly what they did in that case.
I think it's yet to be determined.
And in this case, it's the same thing. They're going for
clearly
the fact that she's
attractive.
A body, you know, and not for the fact that she's grossly wrong for the role. Do you know who played the role in the 80s? Brigitte Nielsen.
I know who it was.
A monster of
a woman.
Woman.
Yes.
An Amazon. I mean, I can't even think of a contemporary person.
I don't. Yeah.
Who could possibly play that role of Red Sonja? I can't even comprehend. I was up in arms about Rose McGowan, and Megan Fox is a worse choice than Rose McGowan. Well,
I don't know. Maybe Megan Fox will change our opinions after Jonah Hex.
Now, this is Sonja. This is Red Sonja, not Barbarella.
This is correct. This
now,
is
if Sonja. It had been Barbarella, it would have been irrelevant. Megan Fox could have played it. Rose McGowan could have played. Yeah, anybody with a decent body could have played that role. Remember Jane Fonda?
Right.
I mean, she had a great body during Barbarella, the Barbarella days, if you will. I mean, and it's a campy sci-fi space romp anyway, and that's fine. So therefore, that movie being remade with any one of the starlets, my God, we could sit here. We could probably, you know what? Scarlett Johansson could have played Barbarella, and I'd have been fine with it. Not Red Sonja, for God's sake.
Well, then you're likely to be disappointed. I mean, I think we were pretty disappointed when we even heard that they were going forward with this movie.
You know what? I don't think the casting is. You know what? Robert E. Howard. This is another Robert E. Howard character.
That is correct.
Right? So we can't say we're disappointed with Robert E. Howard characters being made because. Holding in my hand, sir, I know we're jumping the gun a little on books and things, but I have the official souvenir special for the Solomon Kane movie.
Wowie kazowie.
The making
of.
From? From the shop.
Oh, all right.
They had it and I got it. Nice. I have to tell you, I wasn't sure how great this movie was going to be, whether it was going to be kind of great or extraordinarily great. And I can tell you now, without question, it is extraordinarily great. So
well, for those who have seen it already, ooh, I hear that it is fun.
It's not out yet.
It was screened at a couple festivals.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a listener of this show, I believe, has seen it already.
Is it Richard?
It is not Richard.
Oh, Robert E. Howard characters like Solomon Kane and Red Sonja have very specific archetypes, which I think once you disturb, will make to ruin them as film characters. There, said it. And it is Purfoy as Solomon Kane, not McAvoy,
right?
Who should be Bilbo.
Right.
Just to plug that.
Will Wheaton.
Oh, my God.
Everywhere.
I know.
Everywhere.
I know. And
the
making
Guild.
And making
Big Bang Theory.
Triumphant return to next week's episode of the Big Bang Theory. And apparently.
Yes.
Did you also read about the other person who's going to be semi-joining the cast of Big Bang Theory?
I did not know.
One Mayim Bialik.
Really?
As the love interest.
For Sheldon?
To Sheldon. She
no.
is a female version of Sheldon. And Mayim Bialik, by the way, actually a PhD in like neuroscience.
So life after Blossom was good?
Apparently it paid for school.
Apparently.
I swear to God, she's like a neuroscience doctor. She has a PhD in neuroscience or something
good
weird
for
like
her.
That. And, yeah, she will be, I don't know in what capacity she'll be joining the cast of Big Bang, whether it's going to be a recurring role or whether it's going to be a regular role, kind of like, Howard's girlfriend has become sort of
right.
a semi-regular. So kind of like that. And that other one, the new Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, no, Nutrisystem. Who's Van Halen's ex-wife? Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes.
Whatever one she pushes.
Uh-huh.
Whatever weight loss thing she pushes, Johnny Galecki's girlfriend, what was her name? Sarah McHugh or something, the redhead girl that did a couple episodes. She was the doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She is now hawking whatever, if it's Jenny Craig or
oh,
Nutrisystem
really?
Or whatever, with Valerie Bertinelli.
That's funny.
She also did a stint on the show. In several episodes, 3 or 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's going to be the same kind of
maybe.
Commitment thing. So,
well, back to Will Wheaton.
Anyway.
Rounding it out, adding a third in our genre again program that he will be appearing on.
Uh-huh.
This July, Will Wheaton will star as, or will make an appearance as, Dr. Isaac Parrish in an episode of Eureka when that show kicks off its new season.
Oh, nobody cares.
On the Sci-Fi Channel. What do you mean nobody cares?
Nobody
it's a
cares.
Very good show on Sci-Fi. It's got a good following. This is its fourth season that it's going to. Clearly someone cares. It's got 4 seasons.
Hmm. I see.
Hmm. Exactly. It's a good show.
Are you a
Just
fan of...
you don't watch it.
Are you a fan of Eureka, listeners? Well, why don't you go over to our hotline...
425-920-6767. 6050.
And we are going to give a random Eureka fan a prize this week because Eureka is so popular that everybody is going to run right over to the hotline. And you know what? Let me up the ante.
Let's change it a little bit. I wanna inspire more participation.
Okay.
So if you're a Eureka fan, rather than just, you know, random entry, if you're a Eureka fan.
This is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm going to give this one to you.
I was going to say, I want you to go over to our message boards, click the link right from our site, and in the episode link, post your favorite episode or your favorite character.
And why.
And why. And we will pick out of those people, and someone will get a prize.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Fair enough.
So if one of you is apparently part of the huge fan base of Eureka, go over to our website, post a comment on this episode 187, about Eureka, your favorite episode, your favorite character, one or both of those, and why, you're going to win a fabulous prize. Okay, OG. All right, I'll take that challenge. I bet we give no prizes away next week.
You never know.
Unless old Breastless is a fan of Eureka.
His response, very subdued.
Uh-huh. I hope it hurt as much as it hurt us. Anyway, let's move on.
The Walking Dead, a mere week after hearing that it's going to be on AMC and that it's gotten its, was it 10 issues, 10
six.
Episodes? Six, something like that.
Dead, killed.
No, it's got its leading man, Rick Grimes, who is the name of the character in the book.
Right, Rick Grimes.
Andrew Lincoln has been cast in that role.
And Andrew Lincoln, we would know from...
He was Mark in Love Actually.
Okay.
And
do you have any movies any males saw?
I've seen Love Actually. It's
I know.
A terrible movie.
I know. Straight males.
Oh, my bad. No, actually, you know what? He doesn't have he's got a pretty good list on IMDb, but there's not a whole lot in there that...
So you can't give us one thing?
Know.
Nothing.
No, not really.
All right. Well, if you'd like to see who this clown is, of course, if you're listening to us on your on iTunes, on your iPod, iPod Touch, iPad. Now, people can listen to us on the iPad, sir.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yes. And or QuickTime, you can see some of the related images, like the images of Mr. Lincoln, who's playing Mr. Grimes in the upcoming Walking Dead series on AMC. You can see those images pop up right as we're talking about them. It's a technology we like here. If you don't have any of those technologies, you can, of course, always go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and punch up the photo gallery for episode 187.
Right.
187, right?
I
keep losing it. Punch up the photo gallery for 187, and you can see those images there.
Okay. All right. Tron.
Now, I'm presuming you're talking of Tron Legacy.
I'm talking of Tron Legacy.
Okay.
And I'm talking of the newly commissioned screenplay for the follow-up to Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy 2.
Yes. Apparently, Disney is so confident in the success of Tron Legacy that they are already commissioning and moving forward and planning on another film.
Of course,
the question is,
will they wait? What's it been since 82, yeah, 92, no, 2002? Will they wait 28 years to make the sequel?
I wasn't going to go there, but that's a good question.
28 years when what's his name? Academy Award winner
Jeff Bridges
will be 160.
Well, that's six. What I was actually going to ask was whether or not Jeff Bridges. I mean, I don't know that he signed up for more than just Tron Legacy. So, what does that do?
Hey, man, I'll do anything, man.
I don't know. He's Academy Award winning Jeff Bridges.
Hey,
now.
Man, that just brings more people to the theater, man, to join in the fun, man.
You're not the
dude. I have so much fun with these movies, man. It's like it's my life, man. It's the thing that I do, and I'm so grateful to my parents for bringing me into this fabulous business, man.
Are you done?
And, I can't wait to do Tron 3, man. I can't wait.
Are you done?
No, I'm done.
I'm just asking.
I'm done now.
Okay, good. So, yes, Tron Legacy two, three, whatever it is.
One
Disney
would assume
moving forward.
We could probably call it Tron 3 with
for
comfort.
Now. That's a good, that's right. a good solid, good solid.
They should
bet.
Be confident. The trailer is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yes, I would.
Considering 28 years, considering some of the people in that movie were not born when Tron came out.
Olivia Wilde.
Oh. She is so hot.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
Anyway.
So, there it is. Tron 2, 3.
Yeah.
One more thing in the news today. The April Fool's joke that ran away with the internet. You know, every year on April Fool's, there's always a good number of geeky media sources that have all sorts of crazy stories that they like to post.
Yep. And which one did you fall for, OG?
I didn't fall for any of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, because I know better.
No, clearly.
I know better. I didn't fall last year when they said that Zack Snyder was going to be relaunching Star Wars. I didn't fall for it this year when there was another Lucas-related one this year, too. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, this year's one of this year's rumors involved Joss Whedon.
Okay.
Directing the Avengers. Now, the place that posted it first said, no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is not an April Fool's joke, which is the telltale sign that it absolutely is an April Fool's joke and no one actually fell for it.
Okay.
Of course, people were like, oh, would that be any good?
Yeah.
But, however, a couple days later in the Marvelverse, Runaways, which is a project that Marvel has been throwing around for quite some time.
Right.
Now they're throwing around his name for that movie. Now that movie,
now that one
might
I can
be okay with.
That one I can see.
I mean, he wrote the book for a while. He had a pretty solid run on it. Mm-hmm. A great, great read. If you haven't read it, I think you can get the collected of it now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kind of teen angsty and kind of up his alley, I would think.
And he gets some Wheaties in there. I'm calling them Wheaties. I want that.
Is that it?
Cloned today.
W-H-E-D-I-E-S?
We are referring
W-H-E-D-I-E-S?
Wheaties. W-H-E-D-D-I-E-S. Wheaties. These are people who often star in
Whedon related projects.
Right, in Whedon related projects. Joss Whedon, his regulars. You know what? A comparable thing. You might call them Smithies. These would be the people who appear in all of Kevin Smith's movies, Smithies. We're calling them Wheaties. And what we are coining that phrase today. If anyone else has coined it before us, that would be sad, but I've never heard it. So therefore, I'm saying Wheaties. And who are your Wheaties? Well, of course, your Wheaties would be, what's her name?
I don't know. You can name any of them. Who? Allison Hannigan?
Allison Hannigan.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Eliza Dushku.
Nathan Fillion.
Alan Tudyk. Alan, Summer Glau.
Yes, there you go.
and the list goes on.
Exactly. So we're going to be excited to see which Wheaties show up in the Runaways movie.
Well, we should also say that right on the heels of that, or in conjunction with that, another website is running that there's a different director tied to the project. So, you know, it's a battle.
Which Wheaties will star in the non-Whedon helmed Runaways movie?
Who will star in this movie? So that's it. That's all the news I've got.
Wonderful. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back with Chad from Tennessee presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 187.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
We Spartans have ascended from Hercules himself. Taught never to retreat, never to surrender. Taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
This is David Wenham from 300.
Hey, this is Gerard Butler from Frank Miller's 300.
Hey, this is Zack Snyder from 300, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is Sparta!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
No, sir. No, sir.
What do you mean, we're not back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
No, that's not the title.
I was going into the title.
No.
I'm saying we're back with the show.
Uh-huh. You can't.
Chad from Tennessee presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 187.
But that's not what you said. What did I say? And we're back with
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And then you cut me off.
Sir, you cannot not have the sponsor before the title. Chad from Tennessee presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 187. So I might have started, had I been the person designated to come back from the break, I might have said, and we are back with Chad from Tennessee presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 187.
Well, you're just perfect and we all long to be you.
There's nothing perfect about it, sir. I am just regarding the format. That's all. Respecting all right. and regarding.
All right. Geek Stuff. DVD news.
No DVDs this week.
Wrong.
Well, I'm not buying any.
Well,
fuck that DVD set.
I know. Let's just get into it, because you know it's going to be at least 3 or 4 minutes talking about it, so let's just get into it.
Okay.
Say it.
Lord of the Rings, the Blu-ray set collection, comes out this week on the DVD.
At last.
No.
You know what? If you buy it at Best Buy, they have that sword, the Arwen, not Arwen, the Eowyn, nope, Strider.
Oh, yeah?
No, not that one. It's the one he puts back together. Actually, he doesn't put it back together. But
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the exact name of this
one. Aragorn. Aragorn's sword.
Yes.
That one.
Yes. I just don't remember.
As a metal sword letter opener.
Wow. I still don't care.
Yep. And
not caring.
Yep. And let's say why we're not caring.
Why are we not caring?
Not the extended cuts of the movies.
Right.
And not even like... You can watch the theatrical, or you can watch the extended cuts.
Right. This is the fuck you dummies version of Lord
exactly.
of the Rings. Because the dummies, and I'm calling you a dummy if you run out and buy this.
If you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, the movies, first of all, if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, the movies, and you didn't like the extended cuts,
you're a dummy.
Second of all, if you run out and buy this on Blu-ray simply because you want to have Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray, you are also a dummy.
Also a dummy.
Because these are only the theatrical cuts.
Right.
Yes, they do have a lot of material on them.
Right.
But they are only the theatrical cuts.
Right.
It's really like, I mean, I can understand for some people, maybe that's all they want and that's fine. That's got to be, I got to believe, the smallest percentage of fans out there.
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because I suspect that when they release... the extended cut.
Which are coming, folks.
Right.
We
in
should
all
say
likelihood,
that also.
There is a really good chance that the theatrical cuts are going to be in there as well. Just a thought.
Now, let's say this. Prevailing rumor right now says extended cuts by the end of the year.
Right.
So I'm thinking Christmas.
Right.
Perfect Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
They'll dress it up in some big box. They'll put every single piece of everything that's ever been released ever in it. And it'll be, what, like 60?
Be like 80 bucks.
30, 69,
70
like
or
100
80
bucks. 120 bucks, whatever it's going to be. And it'll be worth it. But I think part of the funding for that project probably coming from this sale.
Well, still, fuck you to them.
Yeah. In any event, New Line should be ashamed for not just going for it and releasing the releasing the extended cuts along with the theatrical cuts. I think we should have choices.
That all being said,
uh-huh.
If you are a fan of the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings movie.
Uh-huh. Which, if you are a fan of the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings movie, go over to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
And I dare you to leave a defense on how that movie is watchable. I defy you. In fact, dual contest week.
Okay.
Dual contest week. Person who defends the Ralph Bakshi awful animated Lord of the Rings movie going to win a super duper prize. There you go.
Right. Well, if there are multiple ones of you, we will pick one.
The best one, of
course.
Yeah,
exactly. So that being said, that's out on Blu-ray this week also.
Got to get rid of these prizes, sir. We're running out of room.
There you go. DVDs.
Just saying.
Done.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Yes.
To check out this week. Do you have any?
I don't have comics, but I do have books.
Okay,
books,
let's get through the comics. Ultimate X, the Jeff Loeb, Art Adams extravaganza, issue two. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I really liked the first issue, and I wanted desperately to hate it, and I couldn't.
Okay. Well,
so
that's a plus.
I really liked it, and I'm looking forward to issue two. Vengeance of Moon Knight, number seven. I really enjoy this book. I really like the character and what they've done with it. What I don't understand is, A, why they had to change it to Vengeance of Moon Knight. And still, I'm still confused about that. And B, why on earth stick Deadpool in this book?
Because he's the new Wolverine.
He's not the new Wolverine.
He's going to be in every book.
Terrible. From Image, The Weird World of Jackstaff, number two. Now, this is the great Paul Grist book. We've talked about it over and over again. Great stylized storytelling. Some of the characters are going to seem very familiar, which is fine. You should enjoy that. And absolutely an ongoing book at last. Everybody is excited about it. Check it out. Weird World of Jackstaff, number two. From Dynamite, it's The Lone Ranger 21. I have to tell you, I didn't think this book would get to 21. I didn't think it would get to 12, you know, for that matter. However, it's here. Lone Ranger 21, still a great book. If you like the pulpy characters, especially if you like the Westerns, this should be your book. You should be reading it. From Moonstone, it's The Phantom Generations, number 10. We've been telling you about this one for a long time, too. It's the, on the left side, it's the long-form prose. On the right side, it's full-page splash issues. It's great stuff. It's absolutely great stuff, and you should be checking it out. It's The Phantom Generations, number 10. Very different for a comic to work this way, OG. I've been trying to impress upon you for weeks now.
Yes, I understand.
Months, rather. From DC, it's Batman and Robin, number 11. The return of Bruce Wayne begins here. In this book, because it's began like six times already in other book. Every book has The Return of Bruce Wayne Begins Here on it, always. I don't understand. I don't understand why it keeps beginning in single books and stuff. It's very confusing. But nonetheless, this is still a good book. Grant Morrison, always, always, always a must read, especially when he's on a great character like Batman and Robin. Also from DC, it's Doom Patrol number 9. Folks, I got to tell you, Doom Patrol always been one of my favorite group of characters. I like this story. I'm not saying I don't like it. What I am saying is I just see them starting to go in that direction where we're not going to see it much longer again. So take that for what you will and check it out or wait, and I think you'll get a nice trade at some point. Cowboy Ninja Viking, issue 5.
Rikies.
One of the most innovative comic books on the market today. Terrific art, terrific story, terrific presentation. It's slightly larger. Slightly larger.
Yeah, magazine almost.
Yeah, slightly. It's a little
It's a little smaller,
right.
But it's, yeah.
Little, no, it's a little larger, sir.
No, smaller than a magazine, bigger than a comic book.
Right. It's bigger. I say bigger by almost an inch.
Yeah.
Off of one side. That's what I'm saying. Terrific art. It's black and white, but it's duotone, meaning they pick a color per issue and they use it to sort of tone out the issue. I mean, is there a better way to put it than that? I don't think so. It's well done. You should definitely check it out from Image. Lieberman and Rosmo handling this book. They're also advertising a great opportunity for you to get on board with this book. It's the first trade paperback, 160 pages jammed with extras, only $17.99 on sale in April. So that might be a good opportunity for you, OG, to jump on board. And speaking of trades, this week's trade is Sir Edward Grey, Witchfinder in the Service of Angels. This is Mike Mignola and Ben Steinbeck. This is the first collected volume of the Sir Edward Grey stuff from Sir Edward Grey, Witchfinder in the Search of Angels 1 through 5, as well as stories from Hellboy, The Wild Hunt, number 7, MySpace, Dark Horse Presents 16, all published by Dark Horse Comics. Great stuff. If you're a fan of the Hellboy, you are really going to love this book. Mignola is a great writer, if not a decent human being. So you should check it out based on that. The art style, very reminiscent of Mignola. And you can definitely tell he had a hand in some of this as well. So check that out from Dark Horse Comics. What did you have? You said something?
Yeah, if you remember, I guess maybe it was about a year ago or so, we talked about a book on the show. It's called Introducing by Vegemason Press. It was a book about a group of artists, and it was kind of like your introduction to those artists. Features different work by them. Some of them you may recognize when you see their work if you don't know the name off the bat. Well, Vegemason is moving forward with their Introducing line. Volume 2 of that book is out now.
Oh, nice.
And it's got art in it by... Jeff Wamister, Jenny Friesen, Daniel Tiberius Salgo, Francisco Perez, Justin Copeland, and a couple of others. It's a great book. Definitely worth checking out from Vegemation Press.
Awesome.
And then they've got a couple of other artist-specific books.
All right.
Chamba's book of art you've seen. This guy, I didn't know him, but I look at some of his stuff, and I'm like, I know this guy. I've seen his stuff. And
Chamba?
Chamba.
How are we spelling that?
It's... I will tell you. It's C-H-A-M-B-A.
All right. Chamba.
It's Jeffrey Cruz is his real name. Chamba's like his...
His art
his
name.
His like tag name. Yeah.
I see.
And you would definitely recognize his art, especially if you're a fan of Street Fighter 2. I think he did a bunch of artwork for that.
Nope, not a fan.
So definitely worth checking these books out. Go over to Vegemation Press. I got some really great artist books. And, you know, if you're an art fan,
there
definitely
you go.
Worth checking out.
Were you able to actually reach out to any of those artists? That we might get them on the program.
Not yet, but I do want to try to get...
Oh, sorry, OG, excuse me, I hate to interrupt you, but that, of course, is the D&D intro music.
Of course.
That, by the way, OG, is how you interrupt a segment for the D&D
update
of the week. I'm just saying.
All right.
I just noticed that there were some comments about your ham-handed attempt to interrupt the segment with D&D news last week.
It wasn't an issue for anybody. That's
just
why.
Wanted to show you how it was done. That's
all. Oh,
all
right.
We have been covering and continue to explore the brand new Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. To check out information about tonight's product or any of the products from the fine Dungeons & Dragons line of products, go to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tonight... we're going to be talking about the latest book release from D&D 4th edition. It's The Plane Above, Secrets of the Astral Sea. Now, OG, explain to us about the planes.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Talking like the astral plane?
Yes, sir.
Planes of existence?
Planes of existence, sure.
There's the spiritual plane. There's the actual...
What are these things? Are they places? Are they things? What
sort
are they?
Of?
They're things.
They're not really places. They're, you know, it's kind of like the fourth dimension.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well.
Does that make any sense?
No.
All right.
But The Plane Above, which is covered by this book, is described as an infinite silvery plane dotted with border islands.
Okay.
And things of that nature.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So this isn't really a character book. It's more of a places
book. It's more
book.
Of a place book. Yeah, we talked about The Plane Below. Remember a couple weeks ago
the book
came out? And that was kind of demons and things and so forth.
Right.
The Plane Above is where the deities and gods hang out.
Okay.
Versus where the demons and devils and...
All right, so that makes sense.
Does that make a little
more
sense? No, I wouldn't call it heaven.
I know, I was...
But the way it's described is very interesting, where it's kind of... I'm gonna read the gray matter on the back here of the book, because I think they kind of do a really good job of explaining it here in kind of one paragraph.
Sure.
I've always had trouble with the planes. Have you always had trouble with the planes?
Typically why I avoid them.
It says, you step through a shimmering portal onto the deck of an astral galleon. Prepare for a voyage unlike any other as you fend off Githyanki pirates, thwart the sinister machinations of angels and devils, and challenge the might of the gods and their exarchs. From the cavernous layers of the Nine Hells to the dark dungeons of Tytherion, adventure awaits in every astral dominion and on the vast uncharted sea that stretches between them. The Dungeons & Dragons game supplement explores the astral sea in full detail, featuring key locations throughout the plane. It also presents new monsters, adventure hooks, encounters, hazards, and everything a dungeon masters need to make the astral sea a featured setting in their campaigns. So I imagine it as kind of a vast sort of ocean, sort of.
Okay.
With islands, and I guess different deities are on different islands, different right. things happening in different places.
But you don't get there by just, you know, walking.
Yeah, you don't like...
You gotta like...
You don't hop on the bus.
You gotta poof.
You don't hop on the bus magic, and be like, astral plane, please.
Yeah, exactly right.
Like they said, you travel through, you know, that you might step through some porthole and end up on the astral
exactly.
plane, and that's some weird stuff, man. They get into some weird freaky stuff when they... Some Jeff Bridges stuff when they talk about planar travel.
I don't like the planes. They scare me.
This one sounds really interesting.
It sounds interesting. They just frighten me. Maybe this book will make it less frightening.
I think you're probably correct. And, OG, I have to tell you, with over 150 pages...
Wowie kazowie.
Of information, charts, maps, there's a couple little things here and there. All sorts of information that you need to explore, to have characters explore, to be more aware of.
You said something about pirates.
Above.
I like pirates.
Githyanki pirates, no less. It's like taking one of your favorite D&D things,
right?
The Githyanki, and
making
combining
them, a pirate?
Them with pirates.
Arr.
That's really sounds very interesting to me. I'm very, you know, I want to read this book simply because I believe by reading this book, I will have a better understanding as to what the astral plane is.
My fears will be squashed.
The astral sea. And the plane above, I think, is going to help me do that. You can check it out along with us. Going to run you about $30. I think it's worth it for 150 pages of, I think, really interesting sounding material.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there it is. The Plane Above, Secrets of the Astral Plane. Got to tell you, it's a great... You see these giant astral-looking...
Hells yeah.
...ships on the cover there?
I told you. You said pirates. I was in.
That seems really interesting take on the whole thing. So that said, there it is. The Plane Above, Secrets of the Astral Sea. Brand new from Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, our friend over at Wizards of the Coast. To check out this or other fine products in the D&D line, Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
All right, moving into the product / news / I'm ready to be attacked phase of the show.
Well, lock and load 'em, folks. Before we do that, we should say if you would like to comment on anything that makes OG gay or less of a man, like the segment you're about to hear, you want to check out our hotline,
425-920-6050.
And I respect you for actually giving out the hotline number and not cramping it up there to throw people off.
Nope.
You can call the hotline, leave us your comments, or of course you can always email geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
We may talk about some of your comments, or if in the case of the hotline, we may play your comments on the show. Okay, OG, I've settled in. I am lock and loaded, and I am ready to go.
What's that?
The beginning of a bad, bad thing.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Smurfs!
Yes.
Who doesn't love the Smurfs, sir?
Hetero males.
That's not true. Smurfs are a big thing. They were a part of my childhood.
I bet they were.
You're a terrible
and your
person.
Adulthood.
Well, for those of you who don't know at this point, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. Columbia Pictures, in association with Sony Pictures, has a hybrid live action slash CGI Smurfs movie coming out, I think, later this year.
Yes. Isn't that starring...
Neil Patrick Harris is going to be in that movie.
Hmm.
Along with Sofia Vergara, Jemima Myers, and Hank Azaria is also going to be in it.
As Gargamel?
Gargamel.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Is it Gargamel?
Absolutely.
Well, that's very interesting.
In addition to that, Anton Yelchin, who you would know from the latest Star Trek
flick, yes,
the
Chekhov.
Reboot. He played Chekhov.
And he was also in the most recent Terminator as,
right,
as Kyle Reese.
Right. Well, he's going to be playing the voice of Clumsy Smurf. Comedy legend Jonathan Winters will be doing Papa Smurf.
Wow.
Katy Perry is going to do Smurfette. Awesome. Alan Cumming is going to do Gusty Smurf, or Gutsy Smurf, rather.
Gutsy Smurf.
Gutsy Smurf.
I don't remember.
I don't remember him either.
Okay.
Fred Armisen is going to be Brainy Smurf. And
Fred Armisen. Why do I know that name?
Saturday Night Live. We met him at Toy Fair.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Right.
And George Lopez as Grouchy Smurf.
Oh, really? Because I was going to go. I was going in a whole different direction. George Lopez as Taco Smurf.
Terrible, 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 terrible.
As Gardner Smurf.
Wow.
As Fruit Pickin' Smurf. You are terribly racist.
This is,
I'm just saying.
This is all you.
You are terribly
this
racist
is all
person.
You. We so some of those names we haven't talked about on the show.
We could have made other jokes about some of those other people.
We could. We could. There were,
you have to stop writing me this material and then handing it to me at the last minute because you're throwing me off.
Just because I write it down doesn't mean you need to need to read it.
I'm just saying.
You're terribly
racist and you tricked me.
I am not terribly racist. That's a
You're not going to cover up your Laverne and Shirley faux pas from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I will. I will do just that if I have to. So
what's with the all these Smurf things? Are Smurfs having a resurgence or something?
Well, I guess with the movie, there's definitely a push for new Smurf-related product. Although these two bits of product here that we're going to talk about are really not related to the movie and actually are long predate the movie in some respects.
Yes.
So we have two different companies putting out product.
Right.
We're going to talk about the newer one first.
Okay.
Those of you who are familiar with the show, Jack's Pacific is a company we talk about often.
Well, we used to.
Used to talk about often. Jack's
right.
Pacific, for those of you who don't remember, had the WWE license.
For a number of years.
And did an awesome, amazing,
yes,
fantabulous job with that license.
Very good job with that license. Now they no longer have that license. I think in that category they have UFC now. Maybe TNT.
TNA? Total Nonstop Action
TNA?
Wrestling?
Do they have TNA?
I thought they did.
I know they have I think they have UFC, right?
I believe they have UFC,
okay,
which I think may actually be really good for them going forward.
Right.
UFC getting very, very big.
And I like the toys are really nice.
They are. Well, it's Jack's putting their
right
stamp of quality
mm-hmm
on their product.
And on the flip side, they're producing some Smurf product.
Now, this kind of came out unbeknownst to us.
Okay.
We were in Midtown Comics? I guess a couple weeks back.
I think we were in Midtown Comics in Manhattan, and out of the corner of my eye, I happened to see what looked to me like, I thought from just the quick glance, that someone had customized a Mighty Mug into a Smurf. So Mighty Mugs, of course, is the Hasbro generic vinyl body, which they've applied to all of their licenses
right
at this point. And to me, it looked like somebody had done up a Mighty Mug as a Smurf, built the box and everything else, but apparently that's not the case.
No, Jack's Pacific put out two Smurfs, three, right? It was a generic Smurf,
right?
Vanity Smurf, Papa Smurf. Okay, Vanity Smurf's got the little flower on his hat.
Yes, he's
Papa Smurf in his traditional Papa Smurf attire.
Yes, Vanity Smurf.
And then the generic Smurf, just a regular generic
uh-huh
run-of-the-mill blue Smurf.
Gotcha.
So there's that, Right. And they're awesome pieces, by the way. And if ever you wanted to customize a Smurf, I'm waiting to see a zombie Smurf.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I want. I want to see someone do zombie Smurf.
Okay.
And I should say that if you go to your local Toys R Us, I think these things are like $1.98 if you find them in the store.
Yeah, I think they're really, I think they're on clearance or something like that, aren't they?
They might be, yeah. Or they're on some sort of permanent sale. Or
yeah, not so sure how the Jax Smurf line is doing, per se. Now, the Smurfs that we're all used to, of course, are the tiny ones. What are they, 1.5, 2 inches tall?
Yeah, something like that.
Kind of rubbery plastic vinyl, right?
Yeah.
PVC, they don't pose or anything, but you find them in all sorts of different poses and situations and costumes and things, right?
Yes.
And now Jax put out some of these with some things.
They did. They put out a bunch of play sets also. They put out, let's see, three Smurf House play sets. The Smurf House, the mushrooms. It's Papa Smurf's house, Smurfette's house, and then a generic Smurf house. Each one comes with Papa Smurf comes with Papa Smurf, Smurfette's comes with Smurfette,
right,
etc. And then in addition to that, they put out some other like 2 and 3 packs of some Smurfs,
the small figures.
Yeah, and you know, there's a vehicle assortment, and then I think there's some plush. So Jax had kind of had a broad license,
right,
to put out some Smurf related product.
Now, this is in sharp contrast to the people that have been putting out the Smurfs for ever.
Years.
Right?
What's Schleich?
Schleich. This is a company we often talk about around Toy Fair time because of their wide array of products. PVC style products of animals are their biggest business, I would say. They have some other things as well, Smurfs being one of the things.
They put out like castle sets and fantasy sets. And
yeah,
you see their products, you know, in a lot of stores. The toy stores, but sure. You see them, like in the crafts, like Michaels has them for some reason. AC Moore,
and you see them in those kind
of,
you know, and Target I think is carrying them regularly.
Target
now,
is carrying them regularly now as well.
So and of course that's a very specific toy type, and we appreciate it for what it is. But of course I have to say probably their most popular line here is their. Is their Smurfs line, which they've been doing for, what did we determine they've been doing it for, like 50 years
something? Ridiculous. It's
we
like,
had no idea it had been gone on that long.
And you know what? And it's an awesome line. I mean, I hate to say it because I'm a fan of Jack Specific in general, but Smurf to Smurf, these blow, in my opinion, these blow the Jack's ones out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Well, the originals are always going to be more popular, going to be a better product, I think, than anyone who takes it over.
So Schleich puts out a good array of product as well. A bunch of individual characters, some little vehicle sets. They also put out the Mushroom House play sets, which are awesome.
Yeah, I think their Mushroom House, I gotta say their Mushroom Houses are a little bit better than the Jax ones.
Yeah, they're a little bit more detailed. They're a little bit less, as crazy as it sounds for the Smurfs, but they're a little bit less kind of like cartoony and... You know, like
a little more realistic. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, but
because
you know,
you're scaring me.
Because it sounds weird to say realistic, but kind of. I mean, I don't know. Just that. I think they're. I don't know. They're just nicer. They're a bit nicer.
Are you missing like a part there, OG? Is it brown?
Yeah, it's the door.
Is it brown? No, because that one looks slightly different from the one on the package, sir.
I think the door is. There's like.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
there you go.
The doors and the windows.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff
got a
like
lot
that.
Of
putting
details.
One together.
You
as
gotta,
we
you
speak.
Gotta put it. You gotta put that stuff on. Now we should say, I'm not sure exactly where these particular products are sold. Are they sold in the stores?
You know what?
As
I'm
well?
Gonna be honest with you. I saw these. I've seen these only in a handful of stores.
The Schleich product.
Yes, the right. Schleich Smurf. Uh-huh. I actually have seen them in a select number of Toys R Us's.
Okay.
Not all Toys R Us's.
Right.
Some Toys R Us's.
Okay.
I did not see them in Target along with the other Schleich product.
Unless that's one of those other companies and it's not Schleich at Target, which could be.
But I have seen them in specialty toy stores.
Right. Of course.
And also and Disney World.
Really?
In the Norway, Sweden, Finland pavilion in Epcot, they have a whole big display of these.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so you can find them. I think you probably could find them online as well. If there are some online retailers that carry them, and you know,
the Schleich ones come individually boxed. Is that correct?
Each figure comes individually boxed with a with a set of accessories, but those are like deluxe figures.
Oh, those are deluxe ones.
Because in addition to that,
right. They sell them loose.
They also sell loose ones. Now the deluxe figures, you know, they come in like almost like a blind box type display. You know, it's like a box with a header board,
right,
and the box is in there, but they're not blind box. You could see what they
right.
are.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it's, you know, and then the loose ones come in like a bin.
So you have one of the box ones there. Which one do you have there?
You know what? I have some complaints.
Okay.
The boxes don't actually name the Smurf on them.
So you just kind of are. Are first to draw conclusions.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example...
That looks like computer operator Smurf.
Like, for example, the one that I have here, it's, you know, generic Smurf. He comes with, like, a little computer, although it kind of looks like a Commodore 64. I'm pretty positive it's got a 3.5-inch floppy drive.
Wow. So, that could be a classic piece, sir.
It could be a classic piece, but...
Okay.
There's no indication as to who this Smurf is, but if you remember, there was a bunch of... generic Smurfs in addition to the named main Smurfs. So,
right.
So there's those. And then there are the loose Smurfs. Now,
this year now is this something different for this year, or am I wrong? This year they have a theme for the loose Smurfs.
Right. They put out some themed a set.
Okay.
Each year, I think it is, or every other year. This year's theme set is the signs of the Zodiac.
Ah.
So you have all the different astrological signs.
Okay.
As Smurfs.
Okay, so which one do you have there?
This is Pisces, I'm assuming, because he's dressed like a fish.
Okay.
And let's see. I've got Leo.
Uh-huh. Looks like
lion.
A lion there. Okay.
Orion? Is that who that is? Orion.
I don't know the sign Orion, sir, of the...
Orion. Is it Orion? No.
Is it marked?
No.
Maybe it tells you on there what it is. It looks like a satyr, sir. It looks like he has a little horse body and he has a bow.
Yeah, but what sign is that? I mean, this is Gemini, right? The twins.
Okay. Oh, is that what they are? Because I had going in a different direction.
Twins, sir. Twins. I don't know which one the satyr is.
Is it Sagittarius, sir?
Oh, yeah, probably.
See, you're up on your Zodiac.
I got cancer.
I wish. Right now, I wish you had mouth cancer.
I got a ram.
Could that be Aries?
Probably.
All right, so
but
there,
anyway, the point being...
Many signs of the Zodiac this year as we go through each one.
This year's set is themed. Is
the point. Right.
So, Schleich put out some really good... you know, look, if you're a Smurf fan, you know, and who isn't?
Hetero males, as we started
listen,
the program.
Jax has it listed under their boys line. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Boys line on the Jax Pacific website.
I remember being
Smurf products.
I remember being in middle school, my first girlfriend, and her name was Jill, and she loved Smurfette so much. I can't believe I'm telling the story. She loved Smurfette so much that I watched the Smurfs in order to have an understanding of the Smurfs. And so that in conversations with her, if the Smurfs came up, I would be prepared.
So you mean to say you've never, ever watched...
I bought her a Smurf mirror.
You've
sir,
never
Smurf
watched a Smurf
mirror.
Cartoon ever when you were a child?
Yeah, I just said I did, sir.
But
I mean, watched
outside
it...
outside of for her?
No, you mean for my own pleasure?
Yes.
No, thank you very much.
I don't know why. It was a good cartoon.
You're absolutely right, sir. And I'm sure you rank it right up there with My Little Pony. And,
I never watched My Little Pony.
And She-Ra, Princess of Power.
I did not watch
but
She-Ra.
I did
oh,
not.
I might have watched some She-Ra, but only in conjunction with He-Man.
Of course. Only in conjunction. Because that makes it okay, doesn't it? Doesn't it, OG?
Yeah, well, with He-Man, yes. I also am not ashamed to admit I watched the Gummy Bears cartoon. DuckTales.
I'm ashamed that you admit it.
I watch DuckTales.
DuckTales was kind of gender neutral, though. Gummy bears, even a little bit.
I watched a lot of cartoons when I was a child.
I'm aware of your cartoon past, and it frightens me. So maybe
it
we should
makes
leave
me
it.
What I am today.
I just like to say, however, for those of you out there, the research I did on the Smurfs.
Yes.
And the fact that I was able to hold those conversations made my relationship with this person much better, and lost my virginity to her. So there you go.
So there you go. Did she make you call her Smurfette?
No, but she did look a little. If you painted her blue, she would have looked like Smurfette a little bit. She had long blonde hair. She was very cute and bubbly and bouncy, although a little shy and quiet also. So, yeah.
Okay, and there it is.
That's
Smurfette was the hooah.
Not mine, but that's fine. Sure, she's the only female. Sure, she was created by Gargamel, if I remember my Smurf lore correctly.
I actually believe they eventually, I think they eventually added a second female as a child. It was like a kid Smurf.
Wasn't she like a weird country cousin or something?
Yeah, it was like a little boy and a little girl, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there was something. I'm sure I was way out of it by then, but I do remember something about that.
So yeah. Oh, Azrael. Yeah.
The cat.
Gargamel's cat.
Yeah, I remember some stuff.
See?
But unlike you, sir, I gave it up once I got in that. You know what I'm saying? Once I was in there, I was like, okay, I can.
You know what? If they released classic Smurfs on DVD today, I'd consider buying them.
You'd have it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
You'd fall over yourself trying to get it.
Much like I fall over myself to get this product right here.
Well, there it is.
It's some awesome stuff.
It's the Smurfs. Some Jack's products, some amazing Schleich products.
Schleich, home run with this stuff.
Smurfs, like 106 years old. So you probably got 3-4 generations. Maybe your grandma likes Smurfs. But that's all there is to that. And with that, let's take our final break. We'll be right back with Chad from Tennessee Presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 187. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow.
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Chad from Tennessee Presents Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 187.
Nice.
Are you happy?
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked a little bit about Bucky coming to the Cap movie.
Blech.
Megan Fox potentially stepping into the role of Red Sonja.
Unbelievable.
Joss Whedon all over the news this week with rumors and maybe not rumors and maybe rumors again. and the Wheaties.
And we are coining that phrase, the Wheaties. W-H-E-D-D-I-E-S. A person who stars in Joss Whedon productions over and over again.
Tron 2-3. The Walking Dead finds its leading man. And I think that was it for most of the news.
In segment two, we talked about some DVD releases. Actually, we really only talked about
Lord
one.
Lord of the Rings.
The Disappointment Edition, which
Disappointment
is
of the Rings.
Just the theatrical versions on Blu-ray. A lot of features, but let's be honest, it's just the theatrical versions. If that's your thing, fine, but I say you're a poor-ass fan.
This is like Earl of the Rings.
Kinda. It's. I don't think it's quite Earl of the Rings, but that I think is like there was a lot of stuff that came out that was like Earl of the Rings, but I don't think
this isn't one of them.
And we should say a contest associated with this. If you can defend why Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings is a watchable animated feature, give a call to our hotline
425-920-6050
and defend it. The best one's gonna win a prize. What was our second contest?
It was something we forgot to mention in the news. It was the if you are a fan of Eureka and are excited right. about Will Wheaton's appearance in the July 23rd episode, go over to the message boards, click the link from the site, and post your favorite character and or episode and why.
You can post it also as a comment about this episode.
Sure.
Let's do that one also. So they have
sure.
two options.
But we encourage your participation.
I know.
As a matter of fact, not only do we encourage your participation in the forum.
We reward you for it.
A fan of the show started a thread in another section of the forums that we share with Toy Break.
Uh-huh.
All about the Marauder bases.
Really?
That we talked about 2 weeks back. So thank you to Crackit for starting that thread over at the message board.
Wow. Did he like them?
He did. He liked them very much, and a lot of other people were very excited about them.
They're awesome.
They are very awesome.
So, yeah. Okay, good. In comics tonight, we talked about Cowboy Ninja Viking, number 5, Doom Patrol, number 9, Batman and Robin, number 11, Phantom Generations, number 10, Lone Ranger, 21, Jack Staff, number 2, Moon Knight, sorry, Vengeance of Moon Knight, number 7. Stupid Marvel. Ultimate X, number 2. Trades we'd like you to check out include Sir Edward Grey Witchfinder in the Service of Angels, Volume 1, from Mike Asnola and the fine people over at Dark Horse.
And in the Art Book of the Week, you should check out Introducing Volume 2 by Vegemation Press. In addition to that, they have some other really great books out over there, so go check them out, vegemationpress.com.
Couple other things we mentioned, the official movie souvenir special for Solomon Kane, the making of the epic movie. You should definitely check that out. Well worth it. As well as our D&D 4th edition update of the week. We talked about the brand new book, The Plane Above, Secrets of the Astral Sea. To get more information about this or other D&D products from our friends at Wizards of the Coast, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
With pirates. In our product review segment tonight, we talked all about the Smurfs.
Yes.
Some pretty cool product out there by Jack Specific. I'm going to say the highlight of that stuff for me is the vinyl pieces, the 3 vinyl pieces they
right.
have out. And then the awesome Campy Beat Smurfs product by Schleich. Some really good detailed Smurf stuff. If you're a fan, definitely worth checking out. Uh-huh. And I'll try to put a link on the website for people who want to check that out.
Wonderful.
And I think that was it.
Yes. And before OG gets into the plugs, we want to once again remind you that we are not closing, but we're ending our vocal pushing upon you of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon
right.
2010. It's your chance to help out the show by going over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, finding that donate button in the upper left-hand corner, and sending us a couple of bucks to help us repair, rejuvenate, and in other ways, in some cases, replace our failing equipment to help us keep bringing you this show each and every week. And, of course, we appreciate any donations that anybody will be able to make to us. You know that the episode is called Chad from Tennessee Presents. Chad is in the midst of a large donation, and he has some criteria. Maybe you do, too. Let us know. We're willing to work to keep the show working here, so let us know what's on your mind. And also, if you happen to be in the northern New Jersey area and you have an affinity for Big Kev's Geek Stuff or an affinity for just geek stuff in general, all the stuff that we talk about here on the show, you might want to give that producer's chair a shot.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff Idol.
Yes, that's what it is. It is almost Big Kev's Geek Stuff Idol. Give us a call over at the hotline. Let us know if you might be interested in that, as well as you can always email geekstuffog@gmail.com. We're gonna bring you down. We're gonna sit you in the chair, see if you find it comfortable, and you know, if we gel, we like you, we all like the situation, we might bring you on as a staff member of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Not only a staff member, but let's face it, pretty big staff member. In charge of all of the other staff members, not the talent,
right,
the other staff members.
Right. Essentially, you're in charge of the illegals in the archive.
Hey, we don't call them illegals.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The workers, sir, in the archive.
We're going to call them worker smurfs.
Yes. Yes, let's call them that. As well as other miscellaneous staff. So, by all means, do that. Drop us a line. Give us a call over at the hotline if you're interested in that. And OG, there were some plugs.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. T-shirts still for sale. More live from Studio V coming down the pipeline.
Yeah?
I think so. I think that's the rumor.
Keep hearing that.
Don't forget also, maybe if you're interested in advertising or sponsoring an episode or sponsoring a couple episodes of the show, you can do that over at the episode. A couple new sponsors coming on board in the next couple weeks. I'm working out some details with that now. So
really?
We'll welcome them in the very near future.
Well, that's great.
And I think that's about it. Don't forget, you can check us out over at Geeker Dome also. We're over there, and you can check out the forums over at octobertoys.com/forum, friends with the people over at Toy Break. So we're just a big, happy family.
Check out Toy Break. Check
Absolutely.
Out Pipple Juice.
Absolutely.
You can get all of those over at Geeker Dome, right?
There's a bunch of... I'm listening to more and more shows lately. As radio sucks more, I'm listening to more podcasts.
I see.
And there's some really good ones out there.
You know...
Blick is good. Power Geeks are pretty good.
We're going radio soon.
Huh?
We're going radio soon?
Yeah, no.
Might not be a good idea to bash the medium.
You know.
I'm just saying. Might not be a good idea to bash the medium.
Until they get some more quality programs, like, you know, maybe us.
Better.
On radio.
Much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of podcasts that I'm listening to. There's some really good stuff out there.
Interesting.
Flick, Hippo Juice, Toy Break, a few, us, Power Geeks, not Comic Geek Speak. Sorry, guys. I just... I know some of you do. I know there are a lot of people. We love them, and you're an asshole. Fuck it. I don't like their show.
And we'll leave you with that thought and this.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Most of you will speak, especially tiny tots in your bed and we